Good evening, everyone. May 2nd, 2023, Tuesday night. Great to be back. Another, we're in the middle. We finished our intro of basically of reading the intro from the Siddur. So we read the overview from the Art Scroll Siddur. But there's a little bit more to the intro that I want to talk about. And then we're going to get to our actual Siddur. So really, if you have the Siddur, especially the Art Scroll Siddur, if you don't, I'm happy to get one for you. Art Scroll may be a little bit more this color all around as opposed to some white. I have the earlier, the first edition. So we would be on page 2 or page 3. The even numbers are always going to be the Hebrew, the odd numbers are always going to be the English side. So what if I say a number in that's an even number, that's going to be the Hebrew side. The English representation is always going to be one more. So before we get to the Mode Ani, which is on page 2, page 3, so a little bit more about the overview of davening, of prayer. So just to review, before we move on, I just wanted to catch the last words of the overview. Again, just that. Does modern man have less need to pray because he has gained so much control over his environment? No, just the opposite. Because man has become so powerful, he can and does fail to realize that he's strong only because God has made him so. So we pray. One would think that because I now have so much more control over my environment, matter of fact, maybe even too much control. People are pushing back now with AI and that's going to take over and who knows what. That maybe I don't have to pray so much because, you know, everything's okay. And it's teaching us that no, on the contrary, because we have become so powerful, the more powerful I become, the more I have to pray. If you get a higher position in the company, you better up your insurance because the claims against you, you know, might go up. If you become higher in politics, you better brace yourself because you're going to get more negative or hate mail or, you know, we don't like what you're doing. And you know, the more prominent you become, because the more powerful... So on the contrary, the more powerful we become as human beings, we have to pray. God, I don't want to mess it. I'm driving a car. I'm not sure people realize how scary it is really to get behind a motor vehicle. It's, you know, anything can happen, God forbid. It's really scary. So now that becomes, you know, you're 16 or whatever, 18, you get your license or wherever you are. And that becomes a big responsibility. So the greater our responsibility, the older we become, the more we really need to pray. Say, Hashem, I really need your help. Like this stuff is scary. And then he ends that thing by saying, prayer is God's gift to us to help us mine nuggets of truth so we can understand ourselves and our role. Prayer is Hashem's gift. We pray to, we have the ability of talking to the creator of the universe, this mind-blowing universe. It's Hashem's gift. And too often people take it too lightly. It's Hashem's gift that we can talk. I can have a relationship with the one who created this planet. What a beautiful thing. So now, that was completing, that was sort of the end of the overview, which we did last week. Let me just talk about prayer in general. Prayer in general is really quite encompassing. So typically, there are three, let's call it main prayers of the day. But there are things that we do, which are sort of as a prayer that go on throughout the day, either a blessing or a prayer. So for example, on page two, page three, let's go to page, we'll talk about page three, the English side, upon arising. I just opened my eyes. And he says, and so the small letters are the instructions, and the bigger letters is the actual wording of the prayer. So it says, the Jew should wake up with gratitude to Hashem for having restored his faculties and with a lion-like resolve to serve his creator. Before getting off the bed or commencing any other conversation or activity, he declares his gratitude. So it's gratitude to Hashem for having restored my faculties and with a lion-like resolve. I don't know if, how many of you may have a dog. Dog's sleeping. And especially because it's talking about, dog is sleeping. Door opens. Dog could be sleeping out on the floor. All of a sudden the door opens or somebody could, the dog's up. You know, it's like it's up. And we're talking about a lion-like resolve. So even more so. Tracy, I'm just going to put you on mute. Oh, there you go. Thanks. So a lion-like resolve to get our day going. So I wake up, I open my eyes, go, whoa, I'm up. Yes, Baruch Hashem, God has given me another day. So this is a prayer upon arising. It's not one of the three main parts of the prayer, which I'm going to talk about now, but there are times that we have additional things that we say throughout the day. I wouldn't say throughout the day. I say just now in the morning. That's probably the only main additional to the main prayers. So the main prayers that we have in our prayer book are broken into three segments of the three parts of the day, evening, morning, afternoon. Now I say it that way because in Judaism, the day begins in the evening, as it says in Genesis, beginning of the Torah, when God created the world, it was Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker, it was evening, it was morning, day one, evening, morning, day two. The day, the Jewish calendar, the day always begins at the evening. Shabbat starts like Yom Kippur, it starts at sundown or coming up to sundown. That's when the new day begins. Sundown begins the new day. Why? Philosophically, another time. Beautiful reason. Beautiful way of philosophically looking at it. Another time. So each part of the day, morning, well, let's just go in the order of our day. Morning, afternoon, evening represents that there was a sacrifice that was brought, that was a requirement in the temple, and there was a morning sacrifice, and there was an afternoon sacrifice. So therefore, the morning prayer, we don't have sacrifices today. And as I've mentioned a number of times, that because we don't have a temple, we don't have sacrifices. So what do we do? So our prayer now is the what's taken the place of the sacrifice. So in lieu of the sacrifice, We have prayer. And some of our prayer mentions the sacrifices that were brought. So as we mention the words of how the sacrifice was done, that commemorates the prayer, and that becomes like our sacrifice in lieu of. So now, we have a morning sacrifice. We have an afternoon sacrifice. That's the Shacharit. You want to write that down? Shacharit. We'll find that word later as we get as we move on in our Siddur. That word will first appear. On your very next page, on page 5. Actually, it says it on there at page 3 at the very top where you see the page number. It says right there, Shacharis. Just has the S at the end as opposed to a T. Shacharis, which is morning service. Later on in the book, in the prayer book, we'll have the afternoon service, which is known as Mincha. And the third one at nighttime is called, Brian is saying it already, Ma'ariv. Shacharit, morning, Mincha, afternoon, Ma'ariv, in the word Erev, Ma'ariv, nighttime. Three prayers. We pray three times a day. As we'll see in one of the prayers, because we divide our day into three segments, morning, afternoon, and evening. And therefore, there's a prayer for each segment of the day. Yes, Chaim Aharon.
All right. Hi, Rebbe. Thank you for letting me just quickly ask the question. You said that, before I do that prefacing, you said that it's complicated to go into as to why the yom starts by why the day starts by the night officially. Many questions are posed as to Kiddush and officially the first night of Pesach, what is official, what's not official, you know, whether it's the Hemshech or not. You did make a comment. Can you just address it for a moment?
On that topic?
Just to clarify, you said that and then you left like a cliffhanger. Why is there, if you just could simplify, why does the Jewish day start by the night?
Yes, I'm saying that's off topic. That's okay. Why I left it. Didn't want to stay with our prayer book. Great question. Maybe we can get to it later. You can ask me later if we have a little bit of time left over. So those are the three segments of prayer. But we only had two sacrifices, right? I was ready. I thought somebody was going to throw up their hand and go, hey, one second. The Shacharis has a corresponding sacrifice. The Mincha has a corresponding sacrifice. What do we have an evening, a night prayer for? The Ma'ariv. Is there a corresponding sacrifice? The answer is no. So why do we have a Ma'ariv? Ah, very good question. That was Yaakov's question. I see his hand is up already. Yes, Yaakov.
I don't know if it was my question or if I'm taking a stab at the answer. Was not the Ma'ariv prayer instituted by Moshe or Avraham, one or the other?
So let me get to it. But that still would not answer. So what the next thing I was going to mention, similar to what Yaakov said, which is a little bit different, the morning prayer Shacharit was actually instituted, we find, by Avraham, our patriarch, the patriarchs. Mencha for Yitzchak, Isaac, and Ma'ariv, the evening prayer, for Yaakov, Jacob. But again, if they're supposed to be corresponding to a sacrifice, well, so the short answer is, my friends, that you should know that only the morning, Shacharist, and Mincha are obligatory. Ma'ariv is not obligatory because it does not correspond to a sacrifice. It has less requirement than does the Shacharit and the Mincha. And we'll see how that, there's certain things that are special about the Shacharit and the Mincha that we don't do in the Ma'ariv prayer. So again, Shacharit and Mincha, the morning prayer and the afternoon prayer, are more obligatory than the Ma'ariv prayer. I'll give you an example of how it's less, just because I figured someone is going to put his hand up. An example is if, let's say, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's a new month. On the new month, there's actually a small little addition that we make in part of the prayer. If one forgot to add this little part, referencing that it's the new month, it's Rosh Chodesh, in the morning prayer, or in the after, or in Mincha, I'm saying, I might as well just say Shacharis and Mincha, because now you know what it is. I don't have to go morning prayer. Shacharis, morning prayer, Mincha, afternoon prayer. If one forgot to add for Rosh Chodesh, you actually have to say the prayer over again. But if you forgot to add this little paragraph, this additional paragraph for Rosh Chodesh, in the Ma'ariv, in the night service prayer, you don't have to repeat. Because it doesn't carry the same weight, because it's not corresponding to a sacrifice. So it doesn't have the same oomph to it, okay? So I want to talk about the three times. And those are the three prayers that we have. Now, okay, any questions on this? I was, guys, if you have questions, by all means, but I just want to keep questions focused on what we have just learned to make sure that it's clear. Not about other concepts and whatever, because God willing, we will get to that in due time. Yes.
Just a quick thing. I missed it. So you said Shacharis refers to Abraham, and Mincha refers to Isaac, Yitzhak, and Ma'ariv refers to Yaakov.
Correct. We see, and it's mentioned, the word prayer is mentioned by each of the patriarchs, each showing that they had a part in the prayer that they brought forth.
Did they bring sacrifices, or did all sacrifices?
They did, when there was a but temple? Not in reference to prayer as well. They brought sacrifices. The Torah tells us that they brought sacrifices. Abraham wanted to bring his son Isaac as a sacrifice, right? They brought sacrifices.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So the only sort of added, if you want to call it that, is this morning blessing. And I want to talk a little bit about this morning prayer. So on page 3 of your Siddur, or whatever Siddur you have, Menachem, you got a Siddur?
I'll need to go get one.
All right.
Yeah.
Is the Mode Ani prayer. Mode Ani. Mode Ani means, I gratefully thank you. Mode ani lefanecha. I gratefully thank you. Melech chai v'kayem, O living and eternal king. Just using Art Scrolls translation. For you have returned my soul within me with compassion. Abundant is your faithfulness. Now, I want to tell you, it is not my intention to go through the translation of every single word of every single prayer, but at least for today, I wanted to get more the theme. So by the end of today's class, everyone should be more comfortable with what prayer is and how it works. So when you go to the shul, and you're going to go to, and we say, and I say, you're coming with me, or you end up at a prayer service, what are they saying? Oh, well, what time of day is it? Is it morning? Shacharis. Is it afternoon? Mincha. Is it evening? Ma'ariv. Okay. Now, there are, just want to mention quickly, because I don't want to get hung up on this, because this can take long, so just very quickly, there are time frames when Shacharis, for example, can be said, when you can start saying it, until when. Usually it's from the morning, like at around sunrise, a little bit before sunrise. Let's just use, a little bit before sunrise. That's when the sun comes up. Morning. Morning is the morning prayer. Until about, let's call it about noontime. Fine. And from about, these are not exact, we get more detail at a later time, from about noon until evening, and that will obviously depend summertime, wintertime. In the wintertime, it's like until about 4, and in the summertime, till about 8, as long as it continues to be light from sunlight outside, is afternoon prayer. And after dark is evening prayer. And those are, and then throughout the night, until the next morning, you can say the evening prayer, technically, from as soon as it gets dark, until the next one. I'm traveling, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh yeah, I forgot to daven Maariv. Yes, you can still say Maariv. We try and remember earlier, but you know, we're traveling, forgot, no problem. Okay? So those are your three time slots. Now, the morning prayer, just to break it down by size, is the longest. No question about it. Morning prayer is the longest, has the longest to it. Depending on where you go, if you're the actual speed demon, in terms of, and you can, you know, you're like so good at, I call it those auctioneers. You know, those auctioneers who can just rattle, oh, yeah, I want to win, $100. Yeah, those auctioneers, and you can rattle off your prayer like that, which is not a good thing to do. You know, at a minimum, the full deal is about half an hour. You don't have to say everything, obviously every word, we'll talk about that later. But usually, you know, I give myself 45 minutes to an hour. Mincha, 15 minutes. Maariv, even a little bit less, up to 15 minutes. Okay? So Shacharis carries the most in it. And the reason for it is because it's the beginning of our day. And a Jew's day should really begin with a recognition of Hashem. Like you see, the first words, upon arising, we have you on page 3. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for returning my soul. It's a prayer of thanks as soon as we open our eyelids. Baruch Hashem, we open our eyelids.
But can I ask you a quick question?
Sure. I can get a drink in the meantime.
Yeah. Is the time requirement?
Amen.
Is the time requirement for davening Shacharis and the three prayers? Is it any different for males and females?
No. Did you ask, sorry, about all three you said?
Well, no, okay. Or any or all three, are there different time requirements for males and females in davening the prayers?
So if you're davening, the answer is no. The question is, do females need to daven? That's a separate question, and the answer to that is technically no.
No. That I knew.
Okay. But if you're going to pray, Shacharis is going to be in the morning. Don't say Mincha at, you know, when it's dark. Don't say Maariv in the morning. Don't say Shacharis at nighttime. Like, you pray, if you're going to pray, if you're going to do it, just do it and say the proper prayer in its proper time.
Question.
Yeah.
Since women do not have Yulim, they're not obligated by law to pray, like you said. Technically speaking, the question is, do women have any type of obligation towards at least Birchas HaShachar?
So we'll get to that.
Okay. You're opening up a whole slew of questions, that's all.
Yeah, but I was hoping to get that question from a woman. So for example, on page 3, typically men, there's a mitzvah on men to wear a talit or as the way it says in the art scroll, atalis. I think it has an end, an S at the end of your word, or tefillin, or tzitzis, or tzitzit, however you want to call it. So on page three, I think if you probably have page three, even in your Ashkenaz, donning the tzitzis, donning the talis, which is sort of the same thing. We refer to tzitzis as something small. And we refer to I'm not sure what you shared here, Gail. I'm not sure where that's coming from. So maybe let's just keep with the art scroll, because I'm really not sure what that is. Okay, it sounds like prayers that may not have the same source. That Gail sent that? Yeah. And know where that's coming from. So everything, as you know, I always say, what's the source, right? And we'll talk about the source. So who created prayer? Let's talk about the source. Prayer was created by the members of the Great Assembly. So this is at the end of the Second Temple era. So approximately 2,000 years ago, around the time of the destruction, around the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, of which now the Jewish people would no longer be able to have the sacrifices. So the rabbi said, we gotta have sacrifices. We have to have something in its place. So the members of the Great Assembly created prayer and created the prayer and the order of the prayer for us. And we'll see, and it's in the Talmud why, what the order is and how the order came about and why certain things are before and after. All that's dealt with another time, not getting into that now. But the first thing we need to know is, like I said, page three, upon arising, and that, my friends, everyone should do. Everyone should at least say, as soon as you open your eyes, the very least, thank you, Hashem, for giving me, whatever it says in those three lines. Say it in Hebrew. Say it in English. We talked about the Hebrew and English in our overview, right? If you can say it in Hebrew, great. But this is not a prayer that the Hebrew will make that much of a difference. Always good to say things in Hebrew. So, you know, make sure that you're at least saying it in English. And I keep a photocopy right near your bed. As soon as you wake up, open your eyes. Like I said, read the instructions. The instructions are in the small. A Jew should wake up gratitude before getting out of bed or commencing any other conversation. He declares his gratitude. And you say that, those 2.5 lines. Then it says, instructions, wash hands according to the ritual procedure. And you can read that. And then you can say, then recite. And then there's a, but you know, you can do that. That's nice. If you're a man, we would get to the morning blessings. So now, Shacharis, let's talk about Shacharis. As I mentioned before, Shacharis is the longest. So anyone who's keeping notes, Shacharis is the longest prayer. It typically, if you're a man, Shacharis would be said wearing the talis, and tefillin, which tefillin is on the next page. And it tells you how to put on tefillin, you know, prayer before putting it on, and the whole procedure of putting on tefillin. And that goes in my book. I really should get, an Ashkenaz, until page 11. And then on page 11, who has an art scroll? Tracy, you have an art scroll, like a regular art scroll? Oh, Shelly does. Shelly, can I just see your book, please? Just hold up your book. Oh, and Lori has one. Okay. Yeah, okay. So Lori, for sure, and maybe even Shelley, on page 11, do you have introductory prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, in bold.
Yes.
Okay. So that's
what I don't have that. I don't see them at number 11 either. No.
Halfway down.
I don't either.
Let me see what book. Halfway. Let me see what book you have. I can't. What does that paragraph say? Got to get it even closer.
Okay, right here it says.
Oh, Baruch, turn the page.
Introduction. It says.
Tamala. Oh, you have that. So you don't even have the introductory prayer. Okay, some do, some don't. Now, so the morning, the Shacharis is. First has what we call morning blessings. This is not part of the prayer itself. So the Shacharis is really begins with morning blessings that we will say in the morning. And then even then goes the actual prayer itself. So the morning blessings, it's a beautiful thing. It's a nice thing for everyone to say. Denise, do you have a book? You don't have a book. Okay. Can you remember I once sent you something by email to say every day?
Yes.
It's sort of coming from this area here. Okay. So morning blessings, sooner, somewhere you follow in your book, whichever version you get, because we all have different versions. Sounds like Gail even has even a different version. We'll begin with morning blessings. In Hebrew, the words are ma, Tovu, or how goodly are your tents. And these are just morning, very nice little songs. They're not actual prayer itself. So these are morning blessings. Okay. Cheryl, which book do you have? Show me your book, please. Just hold up.
It's page 13.
You have that on page 13. Okay.
The morning blessings.
Right. Okay. And then the morning blessing.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah.
Mine is on page 13 as well, the morning blessings.
Okay, good. I'm saying, you know, I have a Svard, you may have an Ashkenaz, an earlier version. I have the first print that ever came out of the art school, so I'm sure things were added, taken out, whatever. And you have morning blessings, and if you turn the page, this will be actually be easier if we did this on a Sunday morning because we all have the same prayer book in the synagogue. But if you keep turning the page, you'll continue where you might see blessings of the Torah in sort of a small, it won't be as bold, blessings of the Torah. And then you'll get to a page for me. It's page 21. Sounds like for you, it'll be page 19. There'll be a series of blessed are you Hashem, a series of 13 blessings. Yes, what page is that, Baruch?
Page 17.
Oh, you have 17? I can't see your page number. It's a little blurry, but
okay. Page 19 for me.
Yes, I got 17, I got 19, I got a 21.
And there's 50, and there's 50.
I have the women's Ashkenaz art scroll, and for me, that's it's on page 13. 13 okay. Blessings on page 13.
Because you probably don't have the talus and tefillin in there.
Well, no, there's a part. No, it does say how to put talus and tzitzit and tefillin on.
Okay.
So, and whatever, anyway.
Okay, so then there's a series of blessings. So these are, again, just morning blessings that you can read to yourself, which are very beautiful. If you keep turning the page, again, these are morning introductory prayers. This is not the actual Shacharit yet itself. Again, it'll probably be up to page 25. You might see the words in bold. Black bold in the art scroll, the Akedah, A-K-E-I-D-A-H, the Akedah. And whatever page you may have that on, the Akedah refers to, and by the way, you can always look at the bottom. If you take a look beneath the line, it'll tell you the Akedah is the story of the most difficult challenge of Abraham's faith, and talks about just recountings. So some people, I don't personally. Some people actually say this Akedah every single day in the morning. Say all the stuff in the morning. I don't say everything. I actually skip some of these. And I will be, if you are with me, where it says the Akedah. After the Akedah, you will find, there isn't a heading to it. In my Siddur, it's 29, you may have 25, 27. It begins with, there'll be a bold word, and in the English, it'll say next to it, always let a person be God-fearing. So if there was a prayer that someone who is new to prayer, and you know, this is what I sent Denise a while back, and I can send this to you because I actually sort of rewrote this with a little bit more of my own translation of it. But if everyone can find where the paragraph begins, always let a person be God-fearing privately and publicly. And you begin from there. So if all you are going to say are these next few pair, and the next page is going to have the Shema. So if you want to know where I am, once you'll see bold words, Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem. I'm the page just before that. That's what I'm referring to. All the way until the Shema. Actually, even a little bit beyond there. So if all you have is five, whatever page number it is. So if all you had was about 7 minutes, 5-7 minutes to pray, I would say these. Always let a person be God-fearing privately and publicly. That paragraph and all the paragraphs, including the Shema, including the two paragraphs after the Shema. And then it ends with, typically in the art scroll, you will see the bold words, offerings, up until the offerings. Everybody with me? How many people have I lost so far? Nobody.
You would say everything up until the Akedah. You don't have to say the Akedah.
Correct. So now after the Akedah, about two pages after that, you will see a paragraph that begins with, there's a bold word, Hebrew, le'olam. The English is always let a person be God-fearing. I would start from there and say from there until offerings.
Wow. How do you remember all this stuff without mucking up your sitter?
Because they go in order. It's the next page.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, until you know, I get, you know, I guess.
Yeah. Like, so
some things you don't say.
Take a pencil and put a line right next to where it says, always let a person be God-fearing. Start here or write whatever, you know, make a mark. Start here and go until offerings.
You can write in your siddur?
Sure.
Where is that, Rabbi? Offerings.
You'll see it in bold letters. You should see it
very shortly. Page 31 for some of the siddurim.
Yeah.
So another question.
Oh, okay. Found it.
Should it only be in pencil?
Doesn't have to. I typically would use pencil. Because once you know it, you're going to want to erase it.
Then I use stickies.
After a week, it becomes, I know exactly where it is. Okay. Now, this next segment of offerings is the actual words of the Torah for the most part. And it goes for a number of pages. Some people say the entire thing. The Hasidim typically say the entire thing. I don't say everything. And I'm not even going to get actually so technical even at this point. If you turn the page, you'll see the next segment. It's called incense, a couple of pages later. And that goes on for 3-4 pages. And then you'll see some gray boxes in there, one for Shabbos, for Rosh Chodesh. And it continues on, and these are all sacrifices. And these are the sacrifices that are said, that some people say, that reference the sacrifices that were brought in the temple on the various days.
Okay. So we say all these?
Nope. Don't have to say all those at all. Like I said, the main thing is what I told you, that first part. Now, for those who would like to understand, and I reference this as well every so often, you're probably on page 51. And for me, it's the top of the page. It begins with the words, Rabbi Yishmael says. And it's a page that's got a lot of commentary on the bottom. Again, the women's Siddur may have it, you know, a little bit of a different, but it's an area that will have a lot of commentary at the bottom. Very little on top, mostly commentary on top.
Bottom of 49.
49. Oh, you got bottom. Okay. 49. So. Rabbi Yishmael. So just if you want to learn for your own knowledge, these are the 13 principles, the 13 rules of which, remember I tell you how the Torah is written in code? The written Torah is written in code language. The Torah only tells us what to do. It doesn't tell us how to do it. For the most part, these are the 13 principles. They're actually quite complicated. And the Talmud makes use of these 13, and it explains all of them, all 13, how they all work. I happen to say it anyway every single day. Don't have to. It's not from the obligatory part. But this is known as the Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael listed for us the 13 principles, rules of how to decipher the words of the Torah. And it's through these 13 principles that we have. We know how big a sukkah is, how that it has to be made every year, and what the smallest size of a lulav and an etrog is, and what if it's too dry, if it's too discolored. All that is known from these 13, for the most part. There's a little bit more halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, which is not in it, but for the most part, that's here, and it is through these 13 principles that everything is in the words of the Torah are expanded. Really, really fascinating. Okay, and that's just, you know, a good to know thing. It's part of the prayer, but again, not the main part of the prayer.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I just want to go backtrack for a minute. So after the Modeani, we say the beginning of wisdom and how goodly are your tents, and we say all that kind of stuff on the next page, and all the stuff in the morning blessings and blessings of the Torah. So we say all those pages.
You could. You don't have to. Like I said, the Modeani is important. If you can say those other blessings, those 13 blessings, great. But for me, the most important would be those paragraphs that I told you, where it says, always. It begins with the Hebrew word la'olam, which right. is probably on page 27, always let a person be God-fearing publicly and privately until offerings.
Okay.
That incorporates the Shema.
Okay.
Now, before we get to turning too many more pages, let me, just a couple of minutes, explain. The focal point of any prayer, morning, afternoon, evening, all has what's known as the Amidah. Amidah actually means la'amod, to stand, or we stand straight, if we can, for the most part. Now, a person might be in a hospital bed, God forbid, you're sick, and you can only pray laying down in your hospital bed. Okay, fine. But the idea is typically we stand when we say the prayer. And there are 18 blessings, or is known as, they're actually 19, but it's known as the Shmoneh Esrei, which is 18, or Amidah, which is, it's the same thing. the 18 blessings which I said standing. So either you can call them Shmoneh Esrei, which is 18, the 18, or the Amidah. Same thing. That's later in our prayer book. That is the folk one. That is the time when I am actually figuratively standing in front of Hashem. That's what you may see people in the synagogue. You may have seen people take three steps back, three steps forward, placing themselves literally in front of Hashem. That's the focal point of the prayer. I can tell you what, you know, whatever. It's later. It's on, you know, it's like on page
99,
right, somewhere there. Mine's 103, but yeah, somewhere up there. That's and that in itself, those Shmoneh Esrei Amidah, is the focal point of each service, and it's said at each service. And a person can try and say as much. Well, you don't have to turn to there now. Like I said, well, I just wanted to bring it up. The question becomes, what is the introductory part before the Amidah? It's not for me to just walk up, hey God, I'm here, but yep, Amidah. It's not respectful. Hey King, I'm here. You zoom up your Maserati right up to the palace gates. I'm here. So there's always an introductory something to get me into that mode of, yeah, I'm praying now. This is not just, you know, sometimes people can whip out dinner, you know, pull it out of the fridge, bap, it's here. This is, you know, let me set the table, you know, make sure the water's on the table, you know, the drinks, the cutlery, the napkins, the tablecloth. Then you bring out the food. The main thing is the food, right? We're here to eat the food. But you want to get a fork and a knife. And can you get a fork and a knife after the food is served? Of course you can. But that's not, you know, it's not as honorable, as respectful. So we do that before we bring out the food. So before the Amidah, before the Shmoneh Esrei, there's introductory. The morning has a longer introduction, so to say, introductory. But if you're short on time, you're new to prayer, then, you know, like you want to say less and build yourself up like any weightlifting class, right? Or push-ups. You can't do 25 push-ups. Do one, right? Take one prayer. So whatever it is, you just build yourself up. Don't get discouraged. I don't have time for this. It's going to take a... So the Shacharis, and that's why I just wanted to bring this out, the Shacharis, the morning, has the longest introduction. So to get to the Shmoneh Esrei, there are lots and lots of pages. It doesn't take me that long. You know, once you're a pro, you know, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, you know, somewhere in that area. So I'll just break down my Shacharis. My Shacharis is about 5 minutes for the blessings at the beginning, 15 minutes for the introduction, that's 20. My Amidah is another 7-8 minutes. So that's already getting close to a half an hour. And then there's the rest of the davening for the Shacharis afterwards. So that's what I'm saying. My Shacharis is about 45 minutes to an hour, depending on if there's Torah reading, no Torah reading, you know, Rosh Chodesh, whatever. The afternoon service, Mincha, has one chapter of Psalms and then the Amidah. And then Ma'ariv has two, like, you know, blessings similar to a certain part of Shacharis and the Amidah. So each one has the Amidah because that's the focal point of the prayer. And the question is, what do I say before? I have to say something before. It's not right for me to just back up 3 steps, go forward 3 steps. Let's do that. I'm in the Amidah. No, don't just bring the food to the table. Bring a fork and a knife, put down a placemat, you know, like in the, get a cup, whatever it is. Lay out the table. And that's how we approach prayer. Okay. Before I close and take questions, I just wanted to mention the only time that we'll find, without getting into holidays, holidays is a whole other thing, Shabbos and holidays, I'm just talking about, well, I guess I'm going to mention about Shabbos. Shabbos, when Shabbos begins, there's a little hello to Shabbos, and people sing a little bit before, as Shabbos comes in the shul. And when we get to Shabbos later in our Siddur, and God willing, I'm going to bring us one of the, you know, an Ashkenaz, so I'll have more of your page numbers as opposed to just my page numbers with me. Then we'll see that Shabbos has a little Kabbalat Shabbat, a little extra, a little, you know, some psalms and something to sing. People sing in the shul. It's very beautiful. Before the Ma'ariv, and Shabbos and Yom Tov, Chodesh, have what's known as an extra Shmoneh Esrei called Musaf. But we'll talk about that another time. But those are the basics of prayer. And now I'm going to open it up for questions on what we covered today. Yes, Cheryl.
Okay, so just to understand, I do the Modeh Ani prayer in the morning. And when you call the introductory prayer, you're mentioning it's the one that starts with always, and then it ends with when it stops at offerings. Can I just do that as a baby step?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Right, the Amidah, getting to the Amidah is already, we'll get to that, God willing. That's a big thing. We're going to go through that in depth. So that's why we'll get to it. This is what Cheryl just mentioned, what I talked about at the beginning, the paragraph that begins with always. It's very easy reading. You know, very logical, very straightforward. And if you have any questions on it, you can refer to, you know, your question. Hey, what does this mean? You can take a look beneath the line. Maybe it will ask your question. And if not, you can write down your questions and send them in to Ask the Rabbi. We can discuss them, God willing, next Tuesday. All right. Who else? Any other questions?
I got like 10 of them for you, but there's so many questions that came up.
Well, is it on what we discussed? If it is, then by all means. If it's off topic because other things have come up, ask me a separate time. But if it's on, well, I just want to make sure that everybody catches like what we learned tonight.
Do we have to do the offerings?
No.
So we basically just do the Modeh Ani. We do the Modeh Ani and the always and the Shema and then the
until offerings.
So if I get up in the morning, if I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, which I usually do it, but pitch dark, a part of me immediately, instinctively wants to acknowledge, but on the contrary, there's Aleph Shachar. Is there a particular time, or should I readjust myself accordingly?
Right. So very good. So this, what I'm telling you now, is not really bound by time. So if you get up at 4:30 because you know I got to get to work or got to get to the gym, blah 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 blah. Upon arising, when you wake up, now the question becomes: Yaakov, I'll get you in a second. What if I get up? Like, you know, I go to the bathroom 5 times during the night. Every time I say Modeh Ani, the answer is no. Really, you should just say the Modeh. You only need to say Modeh Ani when you're getting up in the morning. So if you think that this is the time that I'm not going back to bed, I'm not going back to sleep after this, then you can say Modeh Ani. And if you didn't, let's say, you know, you didn't say because I'm going back to sleep and I didn't sleep. I was just tossing and turning and 20 minutes later, I decided, that's it, I'm getting up. say modeh. So modeh ani is said, we say upon arising, means that I've decided I'm getting up now.
Starting my day.
I'm getting up for the day.
I would just ask very quickly to piggyback, unrelated, a question has never been answered. When you make Ashiyatzar, and then it's part of Birchas HaShachar.
Okay, ask me afterwards. Okay. We didn't talk about it. So I told you, all other stuff, write it down. and ask me. I saw another hand. Somebody else had a hand up.
Yaakov.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi. It says in our Siddur that we are obligated to stand for the Amidah. It also mentions in the Siddur that it is, I think they use the word preferable. Are we obligated, if possible, to actually sit for the Shema?
There's some people who specifically sit for the Shema. We're not up to Shema yet. We didn't talk about the Shema yet today. We didn't talk so much about the Amidah today and its requirement. I did mention a little bit. But we'll get to the Shema, God willing. We'll get to the Amidah. Any other questions on today's lesson? Cheryl?
I just have a quickie question, and you said it before, but I did not pick up. And it was last week or a few days. Why do we not have a page one in the Siddur? What was the answer that you said? I didn't hear it clearly.
God is one.
Oh, how cute. Okay.
And the Talmud as well. There is no page one in the entire Talmud. Every book of the Talmud begins on page two.
Oh,
the
wow.
First letter that's found in the Torah, in the Bible, is a bez. Is it from Bereshit, in the beginning? It's not a word. Elokim bara, that God created, which would have started with an aleph. Hey, aleph is the first letter. Nope, Aleph did not get the first letter of the Torah. Beis, from our perspective, only Hashem is one.
Mm, I didn't know that.
Okay. Kaimar, what's up?
Rabbi, I'm getting headaches. It's been like an overwhelming para. See him here tonight. I've never heard so much intellectual exploration and depth. You're just triggering every part of my brain with a billion questions.
Okay, so let me just close the meeting. It's 8:31. Thank everyone for joining. I'm happy to take your question. Let me just thank you. Anything else? Any other final question? 8:31?
Yeah, can I hire you on standby, Rabbi, to answer all my questions for the next 20 years?
So good. So thank you everyone for joining. We're back here tomorrow night with Brian's favorite meeting, A Spiritual Awakening. Hopefully we're going to be live as well. And hopefully we'll see some of you. Like I said, everybody should make an effort to come at least once a week to come and see each other live and be together and commiserate. COVID's over. United States even just dropped its requirement for foreign travelers to have a COVID test. United States and Israel just closed its last COVID ward in one of its hospitals, whichever hospital it was. It closed its last COVID ward. So COVID's done. Come out live. Don't be. Bah. Anyway, wishing you all a great evening. Thank you so much.
Thanks. All right.
Hi, Amara.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Go for it. Rabbi. Knock him down.
Questions are endless. I'm just decompressing for a moment by saying that the trigger is going off. We were discussing this. We went to Menachem Mavel, my friend's father, yesterday, and we had a very interesting debate. Sidetracking, you brought up Alisa Shachar, you brought up the Zmanim, you brought up the Hemshif, you brought up Birchla Shachar, the Zmanim, Saifsman, whether there's the Archivim, the obligations. When they connect, when does the night start? It was a massive place because I haven't heard anything this long in a while. So I don't even know where to go because every question piggybacked on another thing you spoke of.
Okay.
How did this start? Did this topic come up? This conversation? I've never heard anything with this kind of depth before. Never. It was very exclusive to the rules. Which part?
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I heard everything from, as I said, Alosa Shachar to the obligatory aspect of Pila and Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov.
Right.
That was the general idea. So I just heard a wide range, and I was trying to questions were coming up as you're going, and I can't really remember where we.
I'm going to post, God willing. Let me just stop the recording.